Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. We have achieved issue 77 at this point. With me, as always, is the Jedi, Cole Houston. You're over there, Jedi Cole?
I am here and still reeling at how many issues there have been.
Oh, I know, right? And kind enough to join us for the entirety of this story arc is the press-ganged Bobby Blakey. Bobby, are you over there? The Flutesman himself joins us tonight.
Yes.
There he is.
I am here, and I am shocked that y'all have done that many issues either, because I didn't even know there would have been that many out.
Well, neither did we. If it makes you feel any better, we've done 77 issues and had no idea that we've done 77.
I'll tell you who knew how many issues there were, and that would be Eddie Medina.
Right?
Isn't he your only listener?
He's pretty much our only listener.
No, I think you have another one. I'm going to give her a shout-out because she posts Erica.
Erica, yeah. Erica
She's always listening, so I think she deserves a shout-out. What's up, Erica?
What's up, Erica? Cool. You could do it. Put your back into it.
Whoa, hey, take it all weird. Erica's an innocent bystander. Come on, man.
Listen. Yeah. Erica posts on Facebook about how she likes the show.
She's not a part of it.
I know, right? And she has not been on the show. That makes her a legitimate fan. When I see you, Erica, I will give you some Hey Kids Comics swag for being a legitimate. We pay our fans.
That's
here.
Right.
You just don't pay anybody that does work for you.
Also, let's go ahead and say, let's put out the official invitation. Post on Facebook for us, Erica, if you would like to be on our upcoming issue, Women into Comics.
Is that an actual issue that we're going to do?
It is an actual thing up.
It is now.
Right.
Like the follow-up to Women in Comics, which is our most popular, by the way.
Yes, it is.
And since we've done the on female characters, I thought it would be appropriate that we talk to actual real women people.
they scare me. I can't.
You don't want me
to actually read comics, because the stereotype, the old myth of the female comic reader is really not so much, has been dissipated so much, dispelled.
Right.
And we need to do our part to further dispel that myth.
I agree. I agree with that. But that comes later. Tonight we're talking about a whole different thing. Tonight we're talking. We're continuing our arc on rethinking the legends, which is the multiverse theory that each universe that comes after the first universe has to be distinctly more crappy than the universe before it.
Well, I think it's a reminder to readers that if you thought the storylines are getting bad, look how much worse they could be if.
Right, exactly. It's really like a Philip K. Dick principle of the multiverse. Like, yeah, it could be out there, but it could be really, really shitty. So the
would
grass
you have
is
stuck
not
with this for 600 issues if it took place in the Victorian period. I don't think so.
The grass is not always greener on the other side of apocalypse. People, just remember that.
Right.
What was that, Bobby?
I said, bite your tongue.
So we've done the overview issue, which was another U, which wasn't supposed to be an overview issue, but became an overview issue. We did This Changes Everything. Last week we did Another Time and Another Place, which was The Displacement. This one could be my favorite. Could be my favorite.
Could be your latest favorite.
It could be my latest favorite, because I forgot how much I despise certain things until I saw them again, and I went, oh, my butt's puckering worse than Pierre the Pelican. It is Joining Forces tonight. Joining Forces. What we're going to be discussing is when you have your inevitable publisher-to-publisher crossover, or world-to-world crossover, Godzilla and the Micronauts. So,
of all the ones you decide to go with,
Godzilla and the Micronauts. Which, by the way, name of my next band. Name of my next band. Yeah, yeah. We're in the studio. We're working on some things. It's experimental.
Yeah, it would have to be.
It is.
It's going to be experimental to see if anybody actually wants to hear it.
I mean, it's straight up. It's experimental in the sense that it's just straight up grunge music, because nobody makes that anymore. So
there's a reason for that.
Exactly. That's right. There's a reason. that because no, I'm so experimental that I want to make music that no one wants to listen to. I'm like the Tom Waits of comic book music. No, I love Tom Waits. That was rough. I like Tom Waits.
Does that
Waits.
Mean Sorry. You could actually get a guest spot on a short-lived television drama?
Or Seven Psychopaths. Oh, man. Can we have an entire show on Seven Psychopaths? Can we somehow?
No. We can have Come a show on the about, Seven Psychopaths comic.
What about his turn as the devil in the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus?
Right. Or what about I can tie him into Mystery Men.
But is that necessary?
No, it's not necessary. All right. So we are talking about when worlds collide, essentially. There have been a few really, really big instances of this happening out there, and they continue to happen. They're persistent. Let's put it that way. Bobby, since you are our guest, why don't you get the ball rolling on this? What do you like about this idea?
If it's done well, it's cool. Because, well, even if it's not done well, technically, getting to see you always, as you read these comics, you know, we always have as a fan, you always dream about different people fighting each other and interacting with each other. But when you put them in an actual story, it's interesting if it's done well, to see their personalities and see how they clash and see how they do things similar and they're, you know, and all the differences. So I think it's an awesome idea that rarely works very well because it's just most of the time it's, you know, with all the companies have really ripped each other off in some fashions for so long.
Right.
You put out a Fantastic Four and then somebody else, then they put out the Inferior Five, you know, to mock them.
Right.
You know, and so when you start putting things together, it loses it because they tend to team up the similar teams, the X-Men and the Justice League and things like that. For me, it's always I like the ones when they team up stuff that doesn't really belong together, like the X-Men and the Micronauts.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like Batman versus the Hulk from back in the 70s.
Exactly. Or Superman versus
Batman versus the Hulk. How does that even work?
You know, or you have like Superman versus Muhammad Ali.
Wow, yeah, I forgot about that. That's a big
very
one.
Very good crossover of comics and reality.
Yeah. Now it doesn't compare to the X-Men at the State Fair of Texas, which really
here
is.
Here we go. Here we go.
It really isn't two crossovers of teams, but it's amazing.
Big Tex, God rest his soul.
It's the only place you can find that Pegasus boy mutant.
I was trying to figure out how do I mention the Pegasus in this conversation.
Was his name Swiftwind?
I love Pegasus boy. He was a Dallasite.
Was that what it was? It's been so long since I've read that book. Is that what he was? He was the local hero or something?
I honestly don't remember if he was a hero or not. I just remember that he was like this Pegasus kid, and he was probably a mutant because the X-Men showed up.
So they were coming to say, hey, we want to visit you and talk to you about being in the X-Men.
We don't want you to be in the X-Men. We just wanted to visit the State Fair, and Cerebro threw us at you, so we figured we could write this off.
And we mistook Big Tex for Giant Man.
Right.
What's wrong with your mouth, Tex?
We realized it wasn't Giant Man when he wasn't beating any women. So we
wow.
just, yeah, I went there.
There were no giant women around me.
That's right.
He's wearing a Western shirt, not a wife beater.
Oh, that's a better joke. That's a better joke. Yeah. Good job. Yeah. Good job. That was quick.
I should have gone and found, Big Butch over at the... I'm trying to decide which state I want to insult here.
Arkansas.
Probably with that.
Arkansas State Fair. Alabama State Fair.
Ohio.
Well, you know what's funny is you look at the cover of that book, besides the creepy Pegasus kid, and, you know, you have Cyclops destroying the Texas flag, about to knock it over, but then you have Nightcrawler about to unbuckle Big Texas pants.
Well.
So it's a little creepy. I'm not really sure what was supposed to be the point of that story. Also, let's go raid Big Tex and talk to the horse guy.
That's it. You want the nutshell? You obviously do reviews, Bobby. What was that, Cole?
Another one of those, if you were in the Dallas area, I believe it was the Dallas Times-Herald, now defunct, And Sanger Harris, also, I believe, now defunct.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites.
Yeah. They teamed up to bring you a Spider-Man and the Incredible Hulk and the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders.
Well.
Because that makes complete sense.
Right.
Of course it does.
Oh.
I actually have a copy of that hanging on the wall of my studio.
That doesn't shock me. You have a copy of everything hanging on the wall of your studio, right. Cole.
That was actually saved for me by Grandma Houston.
So so we've got the obvious, which is comic book to comic book crossovers. Your DCs versus Marvels, your Top Cow Marvels, your Dark Horse DC crossovers. I mean, these are as old as time and law will allow. But then you've got other licenses doing crossovers too. Like, for instance, TV crossovers and movie crossovers. Cole, you I know you have something else hanging on your wall, which happens to be a TV crossover.
Oh, indeed. Yes, Marvel actually did a TV crossover that wasn't free in your Sunday paper. And that was, of course, the Marvel team-up. I'm trying to see across the room what number that was, but it is Spider-Man meets the not-ready-for-primetime players. And let me tell you, that's some exciting stuff there.
That's something that nobody's ready for.
Right.
And I actually have a question. Did you just yell OMG like a 13-year-old girl?
Please tell me you did. I'll go back. Yes. I'm going to go to the tape on that one.
I believe it sounded like you went, OMG.
I hope he did. I really hope he did.
If he did,
I also just
like
discovered,
did.
I didn't know about this. There was a third Dallas newspaper giveaway that I never saw.
Oh.
Would it be the Dallas Cowboys and Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
With them passing some contraption to him? I love that he didn't even acknowledge the OMG and went on for something else.
I did not say OMG.
I'm just saying it sounded like it, you know, I'm not, you know, whatever.
For those of you playing at home, what's going to happen when we're done recording this is I'm going to go back and listen for it. If I hear it, I'm just going to post Jedi Cole Houston said OMG on the Hey Kids Comics Facebook page.
Can you just loop that one statement over and over? It's just Cole, OMG, OMG, OMG.
I can do that if such a thing were to have occurred, but I will have to go back to the tape as a impartial adjudicator.
If it did not occur, then I apologize.
If he hasn't said it, I will piece it together out of the tape and make sure he has said it.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. So what's everybody's favorite crossover? Because I know we're going to get into the worst, and we're going to spend a lot of time there.
Mine was the, I believe it was the X-Men and the Avengers. And I know that's in the same time, you know, in the universe. But I don't know why, for some reason, I think that was the first time I read a comic that they had teams like that had gotten together.
Well, here's the thing, right? Without your Marvel 2-in-1s, or your Marvel team-ups, back in the day, you didn't have crossover from book to book a lot. If you had one character show up, if you had Spider-Man, with the exception of Spider-Man and Fantastic Four, which they just, you know, hung out and played Chinese checkers or whatever all the time.
Spider-Man used to, like, crossover into everything.
Right. He was fair
and
game.
And then one of the big crossover things that everybody loved to do too much was, hey, let's get Iceman and Human Torch.
Right.
And then they would, like, sort of fight each other and kind of playfully, you know,
it was
Human
weird.
Torch would make a fire lasso and Iceman would cut it with a pair of ice scissors. I just cracked me up every time.
It got a little awkward, that relationship did.
Yeah.
See, and that miniseries was like, that's why it threw me so much, is because, you know, you didn't get a lot of crossovers, but you also didn't get a lot of miniseries, at least to my knowledge at the time, that were focused on those crossovers.
Yeah, I mean, it was a full story arc of...
Yeah, Mark Silvestri did it, and in which that kind of introduced me to Mark Silvestri, and I think it was issue number 3 I actually redrew that cover as well, so there was a lot of elements there that kind of resonated with the art, the artist, and then the excitement of having those two groups together.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I thought that you were a big fan of the Spawn crossovers.
I was, but that came much later.
Okay. You don't want me to call you out on your love of...
No. I'm not going to lie. I absolutely love the Spawn-Batman crossover. And I love the fact that he stitched his face up after the batarang in the face with a shoestring, and that he walked around with that shoestring face for years, including the exclusive figure that you had to get only from comic stores.
Well, I did not know that. So they carried that continuity out.
They did. It stayed as part of the main story of Spawn. They didn't talk about it a lot, but he walked around with his face sewn up for a while.
So they acknowledged that Batman was at least to some extent a part of their universe.
Yes, it was not. It
stopped in long enough to pulp Spawn.
Yeah, thing, it wasn't. Right? It wasn't inside the main ongoing series.
Right.
They did it in two separate like deluxe format one shots. You know, they had Spawn versus Batman, and they had Batman versus Spawn. Or it was actually not versus; it was just Batman, Spawn, Batman. One put out by DC, one put out by Image. And it was, if I remember correctly, it was two completely different stories.
I remember those, yeah.
But one that Image put out, it ends, if I remember correctly, one of the last panels is Spawn there with like a batarang in his face, or it was already stitched up, one of the two. But it carried over into the book for a little while, at least, when he had that stitch up. So it was part of the continuity.
That's cool. Yeah, I didn't realize that they carried that out, because that's something DC would never do.
Oh yeah, DC put out that one-shot book, and then it never happened.
That's crazy. That's awesome, though.
That was one thing with Spawn when he did stuff like that. You know, remember when he also teamed him up with and I forget the guy's name, that aardvark looking thing.
Cerebus.
Yeah,
Cerebus, and it was done within the book and the continuity of the book.
That's true. Cool. Yeah.
I was a big fan of the... Now, this is probably... I'm not going to go with this is my favorite thing, but I was a pretty big fan of the Top Cow, since we're on Image, of the Top Cow Marvel crossovers.
Those were cool.
Yeah, they were really cool.
Because they went a dark tone to them, which is what made those cool.
Right, because they did... what was it? Punisher Dark... Was it Punisher Darkness?
I think Punisher
Witchblade. Punisher Witchblade.
No, it was Darkness Wolverine.
Right, and Punisher Witchblade, which those books were pretty damn cool.
Well, they had the luxury too. They brought in some of these really badass artists.
Uh-huh.
You know, with Michael Turner and Silvestri and all the people they were using. David Finch.
Oh, you know, man, they had some killer artists.
Yeah, they had those guys come in because, you know, you had Cyber Force and the X-Men. You know, and then they brought in, what was it, the Hulk and Wolverine. It had like a Hulk, Witchblade, Ghost Rider, Wolverine type crossover.
Uh-huh.
So they went smart with those because they just made it dark and it was gritty and it's like something you wanted to see come to life. It wasn't just like, look, they're in the same universe and they're going to fight. They legitimately did not like each other.
Like, yeah, so that was one of the things why, on the surface, that's what those looked like.
Right.
Like that's what that's going to be if you buy this. It's just like, oh, looky.
Right. But the stories were in depth. Like, you got, if you didn't know anything about The Darkness, which I actually really liked that book when it came out for like the first 20 issues. If you didn't know anything about The Darkness and you picked up The Darkness and Wolverine, it was well written enough. And here's the cool thing about that is the origin of both characters is so friggin' convoluted that it didn't matter whether you understood it or not. Like, you couldn't, like, Wolverine couldn't kill the Darkness and the Darkness couldn't kill Wolverine, and it's the first thing that they ever ran into that couldn't kill, you know what I mean? Like,
They were also cool and smart because they were teaming up characters. Like, one of the things that I always wanted to see, you know, when they went off and did Image and Silvestri started Cyberforce, you know, he had Ripclaw, which was basically his Wolverine,
right?
So when you finally put them, that X-Men Cyberforce,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
you knew you were going to finally get to see Wolverine and Ripclaw face off.
And then they had their own crossover. Didn't they have like their own almost imprint at some point called Fusion?
They did. I don't remember if that was directly like an ongoing thing or if that was just another title. I remember the book.
Because wasn't it like, it was like a crossover book, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it had like the Avengers and Thunderbolts and Cyber Force and another one. And I don't remember who the other one was. But they kind of blended them stories together.
Right, right. Which was cool.
But I don't remember if that was just a like a single series or book. Or if it was actually a fusion of the companies, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
I know they had the Image logo, that, or the Top Cow logo, not the Image, because that was when he was separate from Image. That's when he did that, is because that's after Silvestri had left Image. It was just straight Top Cow, because if you look at those books, none of them have the eye on them.
That's true. They just have the Top Cow logo.
So I don't think that would have ever, because all of those have the Top Cow logo and the Marvel logo. And then he went back, you know, he came back to Image much later after Liefeld left, and then, you know, they got over their drama.
But that was cool. And the other one, the other thing I really like, there's one book that I really like that I know that when I say it, Cole's going to be like, damn you to hell. And that was X-Men Star Trek.
Damn you to hell.
That was an amazing book. That was so much fun.
Was it that Silvestri as well?
It was Silvestri as well. Like, that was such a fun book.
I'm starting to see a pattern here.
That actually inspired me because I wanted to do a crossover between Star Trek and Gilligan's Island. and I even found a way to make that work. Because there was an episode of each of those shows that you could actually mesh.
Oh, please go on. Please continue.
Well, I was going to combine... No, stop it. We're not here to talk about that.
It was Liddell, by the way.
Well, you know what was cool with the Star Trek X-Men thing?
No, it was Silvestri. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think he only did one of them.
Okay.
But I think the reason that worked, besides having a cool story, is they went through each of the incarnations of Star Trek. You know what I mean? So they had, like, Star Trek X-Men, which was the Kirk and those, and then it had Second Contact, which was the Next Generation guys with the X-Men.
Right.
So they didn't try to stretch it out with one group. They said, let's take the different and you know, kind of pair it off with the different fans. So you had to kind of same thing. But it was one of those that it worked and it didn't. There's something really bizarre about seeing Spock give the Vulcan neck pinch to Wolverine.
Right.
You know, and, you know, Wolverine should have been looking at him like, what the hell are you doing? You know?
There were a lot of cool dynamics. You know, Beast and Spock was a cool dynamic.
Right.
You know,
there were
a lot of like cool little nods in those books that really I went into it thinking there's no way that this is going to be decent. You know, like this is going to be crap. Like I don't even know why I'm bothering. And then I read it and I'm like, this is really, really cool, because if you take Cyclops and Wolverine and you put them together, you get Kirk. Pretty much.
You know, it's funny is they were really intelligent with the thought process behind it too, because there's a sequence in the original one that was the Silvestri book where somebody comes in and says Dr. McCoy, and Bones and look at the same obviously, but then they look at each other like because, you know, it was like brilliantly worked. I don't know if it was thought ahead of time, but then they realized maybe they were writing it like, holy crap, these guys have the same name,
right?
You know? Or if that, you know, I think, like you said,
if it's done right, that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it worth bothering with.
Right.
Well, I envisioned that they pitched that. They said, look, we have this idea, but before you say no, let me tell you about this gag.
Yeah.
That's the selling.
You know, Bones' last name is McCoy, and Beast's last name is McCoy. Are you getting this? Are you getting this?
Is that the firecracker right there? That's the one? The dynamic of James T. Kirk trying to pick up Jean Grey for an entire issue would be amazing.
Well, no, I think they sold it on that one joke, so that whole issue really was just so they could tell that one joke.
So it's like every issue of Hey Kids Comics.
Exactly. We build up, OMG.
What? OMG, and then the rest is all downhill. The rest is Wolverine trying to fight Spock. That's the whole show. So, Cole, what about you? Since I stole your thunder with Star Trek X-Men.
Oh, no. I was going to say one of the things that I really enjoyed was we touched on it briefly, was the fact that a lot of times when Marvel had licenses for other, you know, toys or other properties, they'd fold them into the Marvel Universe during the course of that license and then keep anything they created during the course of that folding in.
Right.
So, you know, Rom goes away, but they still get to keep the Space Knights.
Which is awesome.
Godzilla goes away, and they keep Red Ronin. The Shogun Warriors go away, they keep nothing. But
which is a shame. Which is a damn shame, all right?
The Micronauts went away, and they kept Bug. They brought Bug back for some title.
God, unknown reason.
Yeah, I'm like, is that Bug from the Micronauts? The hell? Marionette gets no coverage. But the thing about it is, that was just a really neat way of going about getting the licenses. I mean, when they got Crystar, they didn't bother.
Oh, God.
They didn't bother with the Sectars or, you know, but there was a period when somebody had the really clever idea of, let's let these things interact. Let's let Godzilla fight the Avengers and the Fantastic Four. God bless them, Devil Dinosaur.
Right?
Flipping back, you know, you remember you mentioned Crystar, but he did face off with Alpha Flight.
Uh-huh.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
He did. There's an issue. Yeah, it was like
I didn't pay enough attention to Crystar.
I don't know who they were trying to give the bump to at that point.
Yeah, I think it was like one of the that was kind of the ending of the series, I believe. Because I think it may not have been the actual ending, because I want to say it had something like the final something or other, and it had, I just remember Puck being on the cover.
I remember Crystar standing like in the center, front and center, and then Alpha Flight behind him or something like that.
No. He's standing in the background, and that weird lava character standing next to him. And I remember Puck kind of that typical like jumping at you. And there's, I don't remember if it was the bird chick, which I don't know her name because I hated Alpha Flight, and the Indian guy.
Snowbird,
I think.
And the Indian guy.
I don't know any of their names.
Shaman. Perhaps Shaman.
The Indian guy and the bird lady. The worst circus ever is what you just described.
I would go to that circus.
Come see the Indian guy and the bird lady.
There's a midget. My apologies to both Marvel and Remco.
Because,
First of all, don't name your comic book company Remco, please.
That was the toy company.
That's what I meant. You're inviting yourself a lot of problems if you do that. Bobby's just laughing to himself over there. Oh,
and also, speaking of licensing,
I've got a whole story playing out in my head now.
Oh, God.
Well, speaking of licenses that crossed over, apparently the High Evolutionary appeared in ALF.
In ALF?
In ALF.
In ALF? Jesus.
Now I'm obsessed with Crystar, because Nightcrawler apparently appeared in Crystar as well.
They were trying real hard.
You know, Nightcrawler appeared in the Micronauts fairly early on, as did Swamp Thing in like the second or third issue.
Oh, nice.
They were working it really hard, is what they were doing. They were like, somebody's got to buy these Crystar figures.
Since we're dueling with Crystar, and I guess Doctor Strange was in Crystar as well.
They're like, we got a gold circle full of Crystar figures that we got to get rid of.
But you know who appeared in Rom the Space Knight?
Wolverine.
No.
Well, he did.
Well, but probably, Andrew, but okay.
Don't tell me no, he did too.
Who appeared in Rom the Space Knight, Cole?
Shang-Chi, Master.
For Shang-Chi's sake. Of course he did.
This is the only reason we live with Ark, so I could eventually mention.
Fold Shang-Chi into this monstrosity.
Because Shang-Chi is awesome.
Get me wrong, all right? Shang-Chi is awesome, okay?
Now, I hate the new one. The new Shang-Chi is stupid. I want him back in his old-school karate pants.
Whoa. There's a new Shang-Chi?
Well, you know, he looks like a superhero, basically, now. He's got the normal
type. They folded him into Heroes for Hire and decided he needed to have an armband dragon tattoo for some inexplicable reason.
Does he have pouches?
I'm fine with the tattoo. He needs to be barefooted. He needs to have his big belt.
I'm not fine with the tattoo because it has nothing to do with the principle of the character. It's
it's like Jim Shooter
started writing Shang-Chi. I'm just waiting for bone claws or people hands.
People hands are awesome. The only thing that would have been better for Chris Starr is if Mr. Banjo had showed up.
No, really? That would have been better if Mr. Banjo? I don't...
Can you imagine if he had unleashed, like, his Banjo of Fury and, like, cracked Chris Starr and destroyed him like a tuning fork?
His Banjo of Fury.
Is that a thing that he has? Is a Banjo of Fury?
I just assume it's something to do with that damn banjo. I can only assume that he shoots something with the banjo. I can't imagine he just plays people and annoys them until they pass out.
The banjo. Let's examine the Banjo of Fury for a while, shall we?
Isn't that your first album for your band, Andy?
It is. It is the first album for my band.
Track again. We got to go back to where we're supposed to be.
Okay. So let's talk about. We're halfway through this show. We're halfway through. Let's talk about some crap, shall we? Let's get into the dirty hot water garbage.
Let me touch on one really good one.
Okay.
It was one of the early ones. One of the ones where it gave us such promise for JLA Avengers before they made us wait 23 years or whatever it was.
Right.
But it was X-Men Teen Titans.
Oh, yeah.
And X-Men Teen Titans was really fun, very well thought out. They did some neat stuff, like have... I think Cyborg was passing by the damage that was done by the X-Men that was actually tied into an X-Men storyline.
From before.
Is that the one that was done by, like, Walt Simonson?
Yes.
And it had, like, Darkseid? I
can't remember who was... Yeah, it might have been Darkseid.
It was Simonson, right?
Yeah, it was definitely Simonson.
Okay. I remember having that book and thinking it was, I don't know why I thought it was so cool, but there was something.
Because it was cool.
No, but I mean, there was something really bizarre. Like, the cover's really cool because it had, like, this fold out, you know, of all them running and whatnot, the old school stair run. But for some reason, Robin had the most muscular legs. And it was like.
I think Simonson was trying to channel George Perez.
Yeah, because you look at, it doesn't look like typical Simonson. But you look at it, and it's like everybody's in full uniform or whatever, and then suddenly you got Robin with the elf shoes and the big muscular legs that just looks strange.
Perez would draw him with the legs of rage.
Right. It was like Bane legs.
Yeah, he had people legs.
People legs. That's ridiculous. Who would ever say that?
Oh, people legs.
So... But that was actually a fun one, and there was even a little clever thing where Changeling was getting all excited about the fact that Wolverine's name was Logan.
Because
it was one of these Dr. McCoy moments even years before where he's Garfield Logan. And he's all like, oh, wait, we can be related. And, of course, Wolverine's like, you know, no way in hell, bub.
Now, did they ever actually – that's what they should have done. They should have had – Beast Boy teaming up with actual Garfield. Or actually having
been, Garfield. Changeling Wolverine Garfield.
Exactly. Or at least have him turn into Garfield.
Just to, who's it's on sort of first like it? A, is this it, Abbott and Costello writes the X-Men?
Well, David Letterman hosts the Oscars crossover.
Okay, all right. What about the worst? Let's just go for it. We're into this. So.
Did you go right to the amalgam?
Oh god. So here's let's explore how amalgam came into being a little bit. So essentially, we waited 23 years of our lives.
Did we really wait for it?
I did. I was like, this is going to be the most amazing thing that's ever been done.
It was supposed to, it had so much promise.
Some of them
were. And then they sold you on it with Darkclaw. They, like, all the advertising, they put that front and center because they knew that's what we would wrap up.
But we waited for DC versus Marvel.
Yeah.
For, like, 23, I mean, how long did you wait? And then every, you know, comic book resources or whatever, every other month, would talk about how, nope, it got pushed back by another year and a half because of legal disputes or issues or licensing.
There were a lot of editorial disputes in a lot of these. See, early on when you had, like, Batman, the Hulk, and we never knew. I mean, there could have been a lot of infighting back then, but there weren't a ton of magazines to tell you about it.
Right.
So you're telling me you didn't like stuff like Thorion?
Are we already... So there was a character, though, that brought them together into what they called the Amalgam Universe.
That dude was a dork.
Do you remember what he... Do you remember him? Do you remember Access?
He had, like, the big shoulder pads and...
Who spent the entire... Because it was red and blue. Do you remember there was like a red force and a blue force? And it was took place in an alley. And Access lived in a cardboard box in an alley for the entirety of the DC.
Was he like D-Man's neighbor?
I think he was. D-Man would come out scratching his belly. Like, you got any of that pee cola? Like, yep, we got more of that. So it was so bad. It was so bad. And then we got to see the most obvious fights ever. They weren't going to break it up and make it interesting, you know, in any way, shape, or form, fun. So we got to see the most obvious fights that were ever done. And, of course, they sent out these pamphlets, these free – they put them in comic shops and they spread them around. It was the Jason Todd comic book writing school. Do you remember that? The Choose Who Wins the Fights –
The Choose Your Own Adventure.
Oh, yeah. There were all these big... they had a huge ad campaign.
Oh, it was
and there
giant.
Were posters that... There was a whole series of posters that were sent to comic shops. For years, I used to have a full set of them. Of course I did, yeah. You know, there was Storm versus Wonder Woman. Who will win? You decide. Vote here.
Yeah, right.
And they were actually... I have... only one of them left. I have a Vote Marvel button.
Do you?
Did any
there
of y'all
a Vote
ever
Marvel
actually...
button and a Vote DC button.
Did any of y'all, did either one of you actually ever vote?
No.
For this? No.
For any of it. For the Jason Todd thing?
I did. I voted for the Jason Todd thing. I will go on record.
You're now the first person I have ever met. I've asked people for years that, oh, yeah, they let you vote. Did you vote? Oh, no, I didn't. You're the first person I finally found something I can call my stalker.
See, I have the opinion that if you didn't vote, you have no business complaining about what happened to Jason Todd.
Right. I voted for him to live. And my it turns only, out he
I,
did.
I absentee voted.
But you got
my
the...
My only disappointment of like the Amalgam stuff was really that Lobo the Duck didn't get his own series.
But here's the thing. They didn't give you
anything.
Here's
the reason.
They didn't give you any interesting fights. Of everybody you have in the Marvel Universe that you could pit against the DC Universe, even their flagship characters that you could mix it up, you know, you've got Aquaman versus Namor, and Flash versus Quicksilver, and, you know, Batman, Wolverine
Batman
versus
Lobo. Predator. Oh, wait,
that would be awesome. That would be even better.
That book is awesome.
They did it. Batman versus Predator. It was a Dark Horse DC crossover.
That book was awesome.
But you could have had such cool matchups.
Yeah.
And they just let it go. They softballed it at that point.
But see, and what they did is they teased you that you were going to get one thing. Because, you know, there's certain people you wanted to see fight. So they kind of teased you. But then sometimes they didn't give you the people that you wanted.
Right.
You know, because if you look at the Versus, you know, the Versus book, the first issue, you know, they have like the Hulk and Superman next to each other and Lobo and Wolverine and so on and so forth. But then they kind of randomly threw people against each other and it didn't give you what they told you they were going to give you.
Right.
But also one of the things about it is...
Crap, like Generation Hex.
Yeah, you did.
But also, when you give over the writing process to the rest of the world, then you run into this situation where nothing matters. Because, you know, whatever creative team they have are now beholden on, I guess they probably just had to write two different versions.
Right.
And illustrated that.
I think that's too much thought put into it. I honestly don't think they paid attention because I can't imagine anybody voted for any of this crap.
Well, I can't imagine they cared, you know?
Yeah. I suspect that what happened was they had to fudge the votes because it probably came in so heavily on the side of Marvel that somebody had said, we got to throw DC a bone and just fake it on somebody. So, like, everyone in the DC bullpen vote for Marvel.
Right.
Vote for us. And our votes count 10 times.
But what came out of this was a character named Access, which was an amalgam of the characters from either universe that was trying to that had forced them across the great divide to allow us to see such shitty matchups as Elektra versus Catwoman, which makes total sense, right? And Access,
well, Storm and Wonder Woman, you know, the one I mentioned before, it seemed like an odd, like, we had nobody we could pit Wonder Woman against that was relevant,
right? But then you got...
Or is it just because they're both girls?
It was because they were both girls.
They had some that were kind of cool ideas, you know, like the Dark Claw and even Doctor Strange Fate.
Strange Fate was awesome.
We're kind of mixing them up here because we had Marvel versus DC, and then there was also Marvel DC All Access, which was basically the two universes colliding.
Right.
And then where Bobby's head is... the amalgam universe.
And that's where we need to be. We need to be in the amalgam universe.
Yeah,
we
need to just
look. Generation Hex traumatized me because
what the amalgam universe was.
Challenges of the Fantastic and crap like that. Just I didn't understand what was happening.
I'll give you an analog here, Bobby. This will help you understand what the amalgam universe was. If you ever had the misfortune of seeing the movie Waterworld.
I have.
And there's a scene where they lower Kevin Costner into like the
expectations.
They lower him into the water crap pile. There's like this floating compost heap or something they've got going on there and on their little atoll. Then I guess it's supposed to be like the Sarlacc pit where he's going to be slowly digested.
Right.
And then I don't know what they do with that. It's not like they were really putting that to much use other than just having a big pile of floating cesspool that the residents could live without. But you know, at the end of the day, that's literally the floating cesspool that we could all live without.
Right.
That's what we got. I mean, you know, Dark Claw was cool looking, and there was even a lenticular card that was done, I think, as a promo, that if you turned it to the light one way, it was Wolverine. You turned it the other way, it was Batman. And if you kind of got it in just the right light under the right red sun conditions, it became Dark Claw.
There were some cool books in here. I mean, there really were.
My problem with that, though, is they did create some cool ones. You know, I even as the story wasn't good, but the idea behind like Speed Demon, I thought was kind of cool.
Right.
But then they did crap, you know, where they had like, you did Dark Claw and they had the cool one, but then they suddenly felt the need to do Dark Claw, the animated series issue.
Yeah, the Paul Dini Dark Claw, the animated series.
They were trying to pander, basically.
So,
yeah, but then it turns out, and then they started trying to make all those, you know, like, before even giving you time to enjoy the characters or not enjoy them, whatever the case was, they give you, you know, Spider-Boy, and then Spider-Boy team-up, and then it's all at you at one time.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't even have the chance to decide if you like it or don't like it. You just get annoyed with it immediately.
Like you said, Strange Fate was really cool, which was the combination of Doctor Strange and Doctor Fate.
That was a good idea. Patriot was a good idea.
Assassins was a book I actually really enjoyed. Assassins was the... Cat's Eye and Dare the Terminator, which was basically the Punisher and Deathstroke and
Elektra
and Catwoman, those characters combined to be a team that were going after the Kingpin Riddler and his tower, and they had to essentially, like Akira Sawa, up this tower, fighting at every level, you know, to get up there. And when they finally get up there, they end up with an Orion war harness jetpack thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was a really cool book. Like, that first round of books was friggin' cool. But then it all went downhill from there.
But what was weird about that is that there were some of them that they did cool stuff. There were some of them that they merged together didn't work. Then there were some that were just lazy, like the bullets and bracelets.
Yeah.
So it really
bullets
just said,
and bracelets was bad from the outset.
Well, it's just like, here's Frank Castle, here's you know, Diana, and let's just, we'll keep them what they are and just put them together. you know, it was like, that's not even really a amalgam of anything. That's just two people hanging out.
Right.
And they weren't even shooting at each other. It's like, they should have had her with guns and bracelets. They should have him with guns and bracelets. And then it might actually seem like something.
Right.
And there's something very weird and creepy about Punisher with blonde hair. I'm just saying.
That was weird. Yeah. That was weird. And it wasn't, it was Orion. It wasn't Deathstroke. I think it was Orion and the Punisher combined, which is a hell of a combination when you think about it. And of course, let us not forget Lobo the Duck.
Lobo the Duck, awesome.
Lobo the friggin' duck. Just horrible. Iron Lantern. You want to talk about one that was horrible? Iron Lantern was horrible.
But see, and that was another one that I think could... Just from the idea of, you know, the Iron Man Green Lantern idea, but it went so far just stupid.
Right.
Right.
Not cool. Well,
there were a lot of them, I think, that they were also just pushing to make a combination.
For instance?
Well, okay, Dr. Doomsday.
Are you and saying then, there's something wrong with that?
And then whatever the hell the Joker Sabretooth thing was. I don't know, it was like Joker Tooth.
I don't know if it was the jackal or the hyena or something.
I don't know if that's what it was, but that's what it should have been.
It should have been Joker Tooth.
Hello, I'm Joker Tooth.
And then one of the worst, absolute worst, was Magneto and the Metal Man.
Oh, yeah, that was a bad one.
Where they felt they had to, like, just cull the very depths of things metallic. And, like, the only character I can remember was one of them was called Bismuth.
I will tell you, probably my favorite character that they put out there that didn't get his own book or anything, but my favorite one was Night Creeper, because it combined two of my favorite characters. Which was the Creeper, who does not get enough play in any universe.
That is so
ever.
True. I love the Creeper.
And Nightcrawler, which is such a cool idea for a character not to give a book to.
That Joker Sabretooth, his name was Hyena.
Hyena.
So they gave him a cool name that fit the character. He just looked stupid.
Yeah.
He basically actually looks like the Creeper.
I guess it was Deathstroke and Daredevil. Were the combination of Dare the Terminator. So who was the Punisher? Was it Bullets and Bracelets?
Yeah, Punisher was in Bullets and Bracelets.
Yeah, Bullets and Bracelets was the Punisher.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying, is they didn't do anything to him. They just gave him a tank top and blonde hair.
Right, okay. So that's the one I'm thinking of for that.
Yeah, they just took her out of her Wonder Woman uniform, put her in like a leather jacket, and still had her wrist gauntlets or whatever, and then that's all they did to that. They didn't do anything. They just changed their uniforms and beat them up. Like, that must be one of the last ones they created. Like, they're doing their, like, okay, we've got nothing. Let's just go home, throw them two in a book together, and we'll just give it a cool name.
I think we should have a little game here real quick of make your own amalgam character. I'm going to go with Swamp Man.
Okay.
Which combines Swamp Thing and Man Thing.
I still think you should call it Thing Thing, but that's me.
Thing Thing.
Oh, man, if I had to make my own character,
I'm thinking of trying to come up with something, too, then.
It's a bit of a challenge.
I'm going to stick to my obsession with Mr. Banjo.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm going to team him up with Dazzler and make the Dazzling Banjo.
Nice. Does he have, like, a mirrored banjo?
It's like, it's going to be a chick who plays like a banjo, and she wears her, you know, her full leotard, and when she plays it, it puts little sparkles in the air.
Well,
I think
that the banjo itself should be mirrored like a disco ball.
Oh, of course. That's a given.
Can I go with Moonstroke?
Actually, you can't, because that's what's going to happen to anybody that watches the Dazzling Banjo in concert.
It's true. That's the end game of the power, is the Moonstroke. Taste pennies.
He was created because he saw the Dazzling Banjo perform, and it caused him to have a Moonstroke. he had to be taken down by Cardigan and the Flutesman.
Can we make Moonstroke the villain for Cardigan and the Flutesman, please?
I just envisioned John Moon Knight having a stroke, like with a slurred, like a droopy lip on one side.
I want to do.
Good God!
I want Buona Panther.
Buona Panther. All right.
Buona Panther.
All right. That's good. I can roll with that. I can do that.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of another one.
I want to combine Martian Manhunter with Kraven the Hunter and just call it Hunter Hunter and have Hunter Hunter fight the Thing Thing. That's what I want to see happen.
Hunter Hunter versus Thing Thing is perfect.
It's right.
Because whatever knows fear burns at Thing Thing's touch, and if you don't, then you could eat the tubers and go, wow, psychedelic. It's like, man, this yam is cashed.
Right, see, I'm gonna actually go with Bouncing Boy and Squirrel Girl.
Oh.
It's gonna be the Bouncing Squirrel.
I think that should be the sidekick to Hunter Hunter. I think Hunter Hunter's sidekick should be Boy Girl, and they should fight the Thing Thing.
No, it's gonna be Hunter Hunter and Bouncing Squirrel. And it's like just this big furry ball. It looks like a tribble, but it's got a tail, so it like bounces around it. And every time it hits the ground, it leaves like poofs of hair.
Oh my God.
That would be the character that no one would want to draw because you have to draw those little stupid pieces of hair bouncing around.
Okay, you now have to draw a Bouncing Squirrel.
Oh my God, that's so awful. All right, so Bobby, what are your final thoughts on this? I think we've done enough ripping apart of the idea. Well, we did it. We said some good things.
I think we did pretty good because there's plenty more to touch on. But
I think it is a concept that can still be done well. And you know, we know that there's been some that were good and some weren't, obviously. And even the amalgam idea can work if there's actually some thought put into it instead of just trying to slap something together for the cash, which obviously that was.
Right.
I think there's a lot of, you know, because as fans, we want to see our favorite characters team up or fight against each other. But the problem is I don't think we're going to get the stories we want because no company's going to let their characters get beat up.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're never going to get that real fight of, you know, Wolverine versus Batman and really see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, That's one of the things that was actually smart about, if I remember correctly, the Batman Spawn crossover, is I believe Spawn basically was the winner in theirs, and Batman was the winner in theirs. So they were able to keep the
status quo.
Yeah, without upsetting people. And it was still a cop-out, but I think if somebody's willing to just let loose and say, you know what, I'm going to let you kick my character's ass because that's just be a good fight and entertain people. Well, then yeah, we're going to finally get that.
But you have the freedom to tell the best possible story.
Right. Yeah, because you're restrained by not letting somebody do, you know, you get anybody and you say, oh, you can do whatever you want, but don't mess up Superman's symbol and don't do this and don't do that. You know,
you don't tug on Superman's cape.
No, you don't.
Yeah, so it's, I think the potential is there. I just doubt we'll ever get it.
Okay. What about you, Cole? Do you have any final thoughts?
I have just one thought, because I was looking around at Amalgam characters. I never read Legends of the Dark Claw. And then I discovered, apparently, because this has that Paul Dini style.
Right.
Raj Apocalypse.
Oh, really?
Raj Apocalypse.
Doesn't matter how many times you say it.
Here's my parting thought for you.
I don't know if the weirdness of the idea of the character or the extremely creepy way you're saying it.
My favorite character from that is Uba Wong, myself. I really like the idea of Ubu and Wong combined into one.
Wow.
Why isn't Rintaw in there anymore? Did Rintaw make an appearance in the Amalgam Universe anywhere?
Well, you know, what about if you go back to, you know, we were talking about how early on in the show, how we were talking about how the crossovers with like the Dallas Morning News and stepping out of that and have Shang-Chi a pet.
Now, see, that would be up there with that with Combo Man, which was Marvel Comics doing a promotional crossover with the Combos snack things that were like the those weird little filled chip.
But you know, if you have him like say doing things like when he hits somebody, all of a sudden like a little tuft of green grass grows on him. You know, you
that could be like Swamp Thing and Shang-Chi.
Well, I'm thinking you do it more like Creepshow, the thing.
Oh,
when you,
meteor shit.
Yeah, when he like kicks somebody in the side of the face, they hit the ground. All of a sudden, like just grass start like rapidly growing on their face. Shang-Chi a bit.
Wow. So not good. So bad.
It's gonna be awesome. I'm telling you, it's gonna be a thing.
Is it gonna be a thing? All right. Well, let's. I think we've done it a justice. Next week, we have the final issue in this story arc, which is Brave New Worlds. Cole, what's that one about?
That one is really going to be kind of a mixed bag, actually, because what we're going to look at is things like the reimagining characters to the point of being, well, you know, one of the most obvious is, of course, the taking the Charlton characters as the template for Watchmen.
Okay.
But we're also going to look at taking characters into bizarre worlds that thankfully in some cases don't exist in the regular comic universe. And we're also going to explore some things like gender bending and where you have like the, was it Elseworld's Finest where you had the female Superman and Batman and things like anything like that. It's going to be really a mixed bag of the strange, the bizarre, the... Oh, and by the way, Bobby, they apparently in the Amalgam Universe, they combined Speedball and Bouncing Boy as Bouncing Ball.
Did they really?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, that's okay. I've still got the squirrel angle.
I think you still need to draw that. But we will be all over the map, okay. And we'll be kind of also be doing our traditional closure overview type of thing.
Right. Our coming down, our denouement,
yes,
if you will. All right, cool. Bobby, plug us up, will you?
Whoa, I didn't know it was that kind of show.
Yes, you did.
Hold on, let me stretch.
Yes, you knew it was that kind of show. Don't lie.
I am still on hiatus, but my website is still up, laststopcomic.com, with 6 years' worth of web strips that you will never get back once you read. And I'm still contributing to the Jedi Cole universe with our You Are Here cartoons, some of the open seasons, and co-hosting What You Think with Miss Jedi Cole, and obviously being forced to do this show for however long I'm stuck here. And if you want to see
more
if you want to see my reviews.
And we cut you loose.
And if you want to see any of my reviews, you can head over to theexaminer.com, just punch in my name, Bobby Blakey, and have fun.
Cole, what do we got coming up on the JCU and Cap Texas over there?
Well, we've got, of course, at the Jedi Cole universe, which is JediCole.com. You can discover Hey Kids Comics. You can find the biweekly Star Wars show with myself and Eddie Medina, the Rantcore Pit. I will soon be having new episodes of Jedi Cole, what the hell's the name of the show? The Jedi Cole's Open Mic Night, which has been gone for so long, I don't even remember what it's called. Lots of other stuff, some returning feature articles, some returning shows. We've got actually another episode of Who Do You Love coming up pretty soon. And I've got another little secret project I'm working on that was inspired by a recent convention appearance.
Very nice.
And speaking of conventions, if you live in Texas, near Texas, you want to know what's going on in Texas in the burgeoning convention scene, be sure to check out the Convention Awareness Project Texas, which is conventionawarenesstx.blogspot.com. And you can, of course, find Andrew and I, Catherine, and probably almost inevitably Bobby, Eddie, and any number of other folks over at the United States of Geekdom at unitedstatesofgeekdom.com.
In our incestuous podcasting world that we live in.
That's right.
So, as always, I'll close with this. Buy, collect, and enjoy your comics. You can get the Amalgam books in collected form And the first, like we said, some of them are really worth reading. They're fun. They're interesting. They explore things that, much like the entire arc we're doing, you can explore things that you never thought you'd ever see. And in some cases, you wish you never did see. So go out and pick them up. They're worth a read. They're fun, right? You got a half-price books. You got a library somewhere. Go pick them up. Check them out. They'll be fun for you. Join us next week when we discuss Rethinking the Legends, Brave New World. Say goodnight, Cole.
Good night, everybody, and happy Banjo Man Day.
That was Bobby saying good night. Until next week, guys, have fun. Read your comics.